We are back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm with John Jocelyn. And John, if you would tell the listeners what your title and your role is and how long you've been doing what you're doing.
Okay, I'm the Legislative Vice President for the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. I've been doing this since 1993, and my charge with the association is to represent the association and to defend the Second Amendment rights of all of our members.
All right. All of your members, and many of your members, this is the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. How many gun clubs are there involved in the AGC?
We currently have 29 clubs.
29 clubs. Very good. And you have an extensive email list, I'm sure.
Yes, we do.
Now, let me ask this. From your members, did you survey them to find out how many received this email from the governor?
I have an email going out to the troops today. To do an inquiry on just that topic. But so far, pretty much everybody I've talked to who did get a hunting license, they did get the email as well.
Sure, exactly. And I can't understand why I didn't. Well, you know, 80,000 hunting licenses sold, 35,000 emails went out. I'm sure they missed a few of us. Are you surprised that the hunting community did not reply to the email?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised. The hunting community, by and large, is politically naive. They don't feel threatened because they don't think the government's after their 30-30. And the operative term is the government isn't after the 30-30 yet.
Good point. Good point. Well, you know, I don't know if you were listening in the first hour. I simply said that, you know, how does the governor know that if I'm a hunter and I own firearms and I own shotguns and rifles, how does he know that I don't have a semi-automatic handgun to protect my home? Or how does he know that I don't take my modern sporting rifle out on the range and just have fun shooting it on a weekend? How does he know that I'm not a competition shooter and own these firearms for that purpose? You know, to just basically say, what was the term? We carved out shotguns and rifles from the proposal?
Yeah, that's absolutely is a play on words. They didn't carve anything out. They simply didn't mention them yet. And the governor, he doesn't know anything more about hunting than I do about the dark side of the moon, and he really doesn't care. The man's an elitist. He's from Montgomery County originally. It isn't what he does. He's a political animal. He's looking to run for president. He's competing massively with Cuomo to see who can be the most anti-gun. He believes that that's some kind of a badge of honor now.
Okay. Now, have you spoken to the governor about any of this? Has anybody spoken to the governor about this and challenged him on any of his agenda?
The governor doesn't speak to the little people.
Did anyone reach out?
You can try to reach the man, but you won't get a response.
You won't get a response from anyone in his office?
No, you won't.
What about Department of Natural Resources? I mean, this email, from what I understand, when you hit the reply button, goes to the Director of Wildlife. Did you receive the letter, the email?
Yes, I did, and I did reply, but I've not heard an acknowledgment as yet.
I know that they are accumulating emails, and I know that they are crafting responses. But you understand that 35,000 emails went out, and 350 responses were returned. To me, that seems like a low number.
Well, to put it in perspective, the email system that I use is a commercial system because our email list is so large we can't send the normal everyday emails. And according to their matrix, they say that for an organization such as ours, your opening rate is really only between 20% and 25%. And normally people will spend no more than 50 seconds reading an email.
Okay.
So you have to factor that in, that the historical experience is probably most of those were never even opened, so the people didn't see them. Fewer still will respond. Our opening rate is over 50%, so we're doing way ahead of the curve. You have to understand some systems don't report back that the email was opened. But even so, you would think that on an issue like this with someone who is active in that particular, you know, field of endeavor, you would think that they would open the email because they would say, this is important to me.
Well, I also understand that a number of these emails went into spam folders and their junk email folders. So, you know, people may not even be aware that they've gotten it.
That's absolutely true. That can happen. And I have seen many emails that will come in and go to the spam folder when last week they came through fine.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So this is one of the things that I have heard. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a hunter the question to me is, it's not a question. I know the answer. You have to opt into the system to receive emails from the Compass system.
Well, apparently where they're getting it from is when you go in online through the Internet to buy your hunting license.
Actually, you can actually do that. I don't use that often, but you can go to a dealer, and if they ask you if you want to receive email confirmation, you can give the dealer, like one of our sponsors, Clyde Sport Shop, you can say, yeah, here's my email address. And I always give them my commercial email address, and you know, I get those emails through that. But yeah, you can opt into the system when you buy a license, even from a dealer.
Yeah, and I know that that's where it came from, because the email I received from the governor came into my personal email.
Right.
And normally I use my legislative vice president email address, but since that was not related to my function with the association, I use my personal email address.
What is your response to people who say, I didn't reply because I don't want the governor to have my name? They already have your name. Well, what was your response to people who say, you know, if you get boisterous in your email, you're going to get investigated? What do you think about that?
Do you want to be the silent majority, or do you want to speak up? They already know who you are. They know where you are. The mere fact that you have a hunting license indicates to them you probably own a firearm. So they know where you are. If you were to contact the Maryland State Police and give them your information, they can send you a printout of what they have in their records that you own, and you'd be astonished how much they know.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I have no doubt. I purchased a firearm yesterday. I purchased a semi-automatic shotgun, a nice little Franke 20 gauge, I might add. And my question is, when I filled out the NICS form, came back approved right away, that is a National Instant Check System form, the 4473, I think it is. The question I have is, does the NICS system interact with our state system?
Yes and no.
Okay.
The state of Maryland at this time, in terms of the mental health issues, is not NICS compliant.
Okay.
So if someone does have a history of mental health issues, they won't show up in a NICS check.
Okay. But yeah, well, obviously you're going to check the box no. Well, you know, if you want to buy a gun bad enough, you know. So,
yeah, it's an interesting thing the way they've set it up. And the governor put in a great deal of things on mental health in his bill.
Right.
And part of it is that if you are in a mental health care institution for more than 30 days, you won't be able to buy a firearm. Now, the curious thing is, it used to be if you were confined against your will. This new language says if you just go in. So if you have an eating disorder and you're in the facility for over 30 days, chances are you're not going to be able to buy a firearm.
Correct.
You would have to have a physician certify that you're mentally
right.
Stable enough to own a firearm.
We've talked about that in the past as far as the eating disorders and things like that. If you are adjudicated to have some type of mental illness, and that's one of them, as a matter of fact. Let's take a phone call here from Ron in Middle River. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I responded with that chain email to all the representatives.
Okay.
And, one of your prior callers sort of stole my thunder. And what disturbs me, I've been following politics since I've been a teenager. Okay. What's going on here is the fact that this Second Amendment, this battle against the people in the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. It has everything to do to gain control of the people so that when they decide to come confiscate firearms, they want to take over the country or amend the Constitution, they'll have the legal grounds to do it and the ability to do it without fear of most of the guns are being taken out of the hands of the people. That's number one. Number two, that email replied from Dutch Ruppersberger, he's going to do what he wants to do. And as far as he's concerned, American citizens shouldn't have firearms.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ron. Go ahead. You want to respond to that, John?
Well, I agree that there is a movement towards making it easier to disarm the American people. An astonishing number of legislators in Annapolis believe that that concept is archaic. And they'll say, well, the Constitution is old, and why do you want to do that? And my response to them is, well, how do you feel about the Ten Commandments? And they give you that blank deer in the headlights look. The whole setup with the politicians is they believe that we will not vote them out of office. And historically, they've been proven correct that the gun owners do not rise up and go to the polls in massive numbers and make a change. And that's what it's going to take. You can't sit back and just say, my vote doesn't matter. If you don't cast it, you're right, it doesn't matter. If you're not registered to vote, you don't exist politically. So what you think, what you feel doesn't matter. You have to get active and you have to be committed. That's the only way we're going to turn it around.
Very good. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Here's a reply from a hunter to the email. I'd like to read this to you, John, see what you think about this. Now, this is from John. Apparently no one from DNR or the governor has read the bill, or you're both just trying to deceive the people. This bill outlaws several favored turkey shotguns and other favored firearms for hunting. It also makes a young person in possession of certain ammo a criminal. Please be advised that the citizens of Maryland can read the bill for themselves and can clearly identify their banned hunting firearms and denied rights. In addition, no one appreciates that Senator Frosch denied people the right to speak at the hearing and that Senator Mike Miller seems to think that the rally was where they had their chance to speak. That is a sign of an oppressive and tyrannical government when its leadership does not allow citizens, not subjects, their freedom of speech. In closing, the Second Amendment is not about hunting and sport shooting. It is about our God-given Second Amendment rights. This bill and many others is bad from beginning to end. Thank you, John. Now, how do you find that response?
Not surprising, considering the arrogance of this administration.
No, that's from that email to the department, to the governor. That's the response.
Correct. No, I'm saying this in terms of Mike Miller's response and so forth, which is really curious because Beretta USA is in Akakik in Mike Miller's home district.
Yes, it is.
And they are not happy with what's going on. It'll cause them severe problems. And when they do an expansion, it may not be in Maryland.
That's possible. That is possible as well. I'd like to just take a look at this a little bit. And it says, apparently no one from DNR or the governor has read the bill. What do you think about this statement from this listener that says this bill outlaws several favored turkey shotguns and other favored firearms for hunting? I'm assuming they're talking about the turkey shotgun with a forward pistol grip stock that a lot of guys use for turkey hunting.
If you have a pistol grip turkey gun, you're okay unless you have a adjustable stock on the butt, the type that you would use when you change hunting positions, whether you're sitting or whether you're standing.
Right.
You know, the versatility you would like to have in the field, that mere component would create for them an assault weapon, and it would therefore be banned.
What about the youth that have certain types of ammunition, a young person in possession of certain ammo, a criminal?
If you cannot own a regulated firearm, you're not allowed to be in possession of the ammunition. And this is a really dicey thing because it's entirely possible to be prohibited from owning a regulated firearm but still be permitted to own a long arm. And with the interchangeability of ammunition, you could find yourself being a criminal and you never knew why.
So a dad decides this time of year that deer season's over. He doesn't want to hunt squirrels or rabbits. He'd like to go out and shoot a coyote. And he says, why don't we take the .223? Why don't we take the modern sporting rifle and see if we can get a coyote? And he calls a coyote in and he says to the kid, here, take the shot. And the kid shoots the kid has, you know, a couple shells in his pocket. The kid takes a shot with a modern sporting rifle and AR-style, you know, black rifle, so to speak, takes a shot. Under this bill, that would be illegal, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a gray area, and we're really not certain because the bill is so convoluted. It's 38 pages long. It was written in about 2 or 3 weeks. And so much of it makes no sense, and it's difficult to know what will happen. The danger is that what the bill says is one thing, but when they write the code based upon that bill, all things can happen, and unless you can challenge it in the AELR committee, it may become law.
Talk about threaded barrels.
That's an interesting thing. That for some reason, they believe that a threaded barrel is suddenly enhances the ability of the firearm. Threaded barrels are very common. If you have a screw-on compensator on the thing, a muzzle brake of some sort, that doesn't make the firearm more dangerous. Doesn't make it more lethal.
You're talking about the Boss system from Browning, aren't you?
Well, they don't say external threads or internal threads.
That's where I'm going. What about choke tubes? What
so
about
that's
every
exactly
waterfowl?
Right.
What about every shotgun
shooter? You have a threaded barrel.
That's right. Over and under, semi-automatic, pump, whatever it is, if you have a threaded barrel, that was the point I was getting to. They don't say if the threads are internal or external. That just basically, Governor, excludes 20-some thousand waterfowlers here in Maryland, doesn't it?
This is why I was saying the devil is in the details, and when you start writing the code based upon the enabling legislation, you're not sure how it's going to come out.
Exactly. So they didn't specifically exclude sporting firearms with internal choke tubes, did they?
Exactly. That's why I was saying that there's nothing in there that's a carve-out. They just merely don't mention them specifically.
Gotcha. How many guns are on the list?
Well, that's an interesting thing because it's hard to know. There's one list of the firearms that's about 20 or some firearms, but then they've now created a new category called a copycat. And that sweeps in pretty much everything else.
Talk about copycats. What the hell does the copycat mean?
It's a firearm that is semi-automatic and has at least one of the following listed features, and a threaded barrel would be one of those things.
Flash suppressor, forward, pistol grip stock.
It's a wide spectrum. They're casting a wide net.
Exactly.
And you will have to register that, or it will be illegal.
Exactly. And that means a $100 license.
Well, actually, it's more. The registration is about $15, but the license that they're talking about is to own a regulated firearm, to purchase a regulated
firearm. Yes.
The license is $100.
Right.
But when you put in the fingerprinting and the background checks and then the training you'll be required to take, you're looking at about $425.
Yep. I've heard different estimates from $385 to $425. Yeah. Let's talk to Tom in Centerville. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just trying to get some clarification on something. I've read the bill, disgusting bill, but one thing that I remember from it that I'm trying to figure out is it stated that anybody that could not possess a regulated firearm could not possess ammunition. Now, is that anybody under 21 can't possess a regulated firearm, so would that preclude children from hunting?
Now we just spoke about that, but go ahead, John.
It's rather vague because the way the bill is written, it references another section of the law, and unless you dig out the other sections, it's difficult to know how it's going to how they'll interact with one another. It definitely gets vague enough to make you stop and think, do you really want to do this, because you're not sure. And few people ever really see the final product of any legislation. They don't see the code that's written that's based upon the enabling legislation. So that's always a real concern for us as to how it will be interpreted. And you really don't know until you end up with court cases.
Exactly. And, that's why I think it's kind of funny that they're sending this email out about, Maryland Hunting Youth Day and how wonderful it is. Then you have that clause in the bill that you're going to leave up to some judge somewhere when you're standing in front of them. You better hope that he's a pro-Second Amendment judge, and I'm not willing to risk that.
Well, I don't know anybody who would, and that's the intent.
So, I appreciate what you guys are doing, putting this out to everyone, because you'd be amazed how many gun owners I'm a law enforcement officer, and you'd be amazed how many have no idea what's in this bill, haven't read the bill, haven't even heard of the bill, because you really have to seek it out because it is not being covered.
Well, I think it is being covered. It's just a question of, do people read where it's being covered? I know a lot of people don't read the Sun, for example. I don't.
I don't either.
Right, exactly.
I found out from a hunting website and this show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, the bill, by the way, is Senate Bill 281. Correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, that is the bill. You can go to the if you simply Google Maryland General Assembly, it'll take you right to the website, and you can go on there and look bill by number, bill by category. I think there's a number of different ways you can access what different bills are there, by hunting, by guns, by firearms, public safety, whatever you want to call it, and they will give you that list of bills. And SB 281 is what you're looking for to read. And I agree with John. The bill is poorly written. It is intentionally vague, and as you said, it's how the bill is interpreted and the code is put into law. So thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. There are a lot of guys that are that are catching these big stripers in the fall, and they became part of the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Dale Mumford from Ridgely, Maryland, over in the Eastern Shore, 48-inch striped bass he caught near Point Lookout. That was catch and release. And then Dylan Getridge from Boonesboro, he caught two giant rainbow trout, 21 3/4 and 27 3/4 rainbow trout. Those were from Beaver Creek in Washington County. Mike Nolan of Glen Burnie, he caught a 43 1/4 striped bass off Solomon's in December. Anthony Russell of Reisterstown, a 52-inch monster striped bass caught in a channel edge outside the Chinese Muds in December. Perry Tim of Pasadena for a 41-inch striped bass caught off Point No Point. And Dave Schwander of Parkville for a 41-inch striper caught outside the Middle River in the Upper Bay in November. These folks are all part of the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you can be too. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes, and one of these, maybe your neighbor, or maybe you could win the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and even Under Armour. And now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. We ask you to stop by your local fishing citation center or check out the fishing rule book or even visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the citation fishing program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. The question is, are you feeling lucky? Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, a great sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show and good people. A lot of firearms have gone through the doors at Clyde Sports Shop in the last couple of months, and they do have a great supply of Browning firearms. They're a full-line Browning dealer. You got turkey season coming up. They've got the BPS pump shotgun from Browning. It's available in camouflage. It has a great bottom ejection system. The BPS is available in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410. There's a turkey model that's available in 10-gauge if you'd like to check that out. It does have a threaded barrel for screw-in choke tubes, and you can take a look at that. For waterfowlers, there's the Maxis shotgun, a semi-auto auto-loader shotgun, 3 3.5-inch chambers, comes dressed in mossy oak duck blind camo. The powered drive gas system reduces recoil. That's Clyde Sports Shop, and they're ready for fishing season, too. You can always call their fishing hotline and find out what the latest fishing information is at 247-3474. That's 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Don't forget their website, clydesports.com.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. Look around you. The office may look a bit grayer these days. That's because nearly two-thirds of Americans between the ages of 45 and 60 will delay their retirement, according to a survey from the Conference Board, far more than 2 years ago. The problem is the economy. Many baby boomers drew down their savings during the lean years of the economic crisis and now find that leaving the workforce on their original timeline is no longer viable. They're also facing low interest rates and uncertain future for Social Security, and they don't like their chances of getting employer-sponsored health care after retirement. But older workers can be expensive for companies, both in salary and health care costs, and they may block the pipeline for younger employees trying to advance their careers. Besides, research shows that intentions don't necessarily align with reality. The Conference Board says many times workers will still retire on schedule, despite their concerns about doing so. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal Report.
This is Charles Osgood. If there's one thing all small business owners will tell you, it's that owning and running a successful small business is hard work. No way around that. So you need every break you can get, and that's where the UPS store can help. Their Small Business Solutions website offers big breaks for small business owners like you. Visit smallbiz.theupsstore.com today. Get access to exclusive deals through the UPS store from service providers to help you promote, protect, and manage your small business. Get your small business on the map with exclusive deals on marketing and website services. Protect your assets with discounts on IT support and manage your day-to-day with great deals on merchant, financial, and reception services. It's how the UPS store is making hard work a bit easier on you. Take advantage of these exclusive offers by visiting smallbiz.theupsstore.com or visit their Small Biz Deals tab on Facebook.
The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? But fever gonna get you, boy. But fever, have you praying to the Lord? That rap, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer.
John, why don't we open up the lines to our callers if they'd like to comment or talk to you or ask a specific question. I know you'd be more than glad to answer that. But let's talk about the AGC for a little bit while we're letting our listeners call. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is the phone number. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. And if anybody wants to respond to the Department of Natural Resources, anybody wants to respond to the governor, anybody wants to respond to that email that you received as a hunter from the governor, just send me an email, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com, and we will give you the three names that you need to address your email to. John Griffin, the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, will give you the governor's email address, and we'll give you the Director of Wildlife if you'd like to do that. I'll be more than glad to provide those for you. Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, that's my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. Don't forget the S, .com. We'll send those out to you. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you have any questions for John Jocelyn, who's the legislative vice president?
Legislative vice president.
Yep, of the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. John, what does AGC do, and what does the public have access to as far as AGC is concerned?
The AGC, which is located at Marriottsville Road and Ward's Chapel Road in western Baltimore County, we have 58-position outdoor pistol range up to 50 yards. We have a 10-position bench rest 100-yard range, over 100 positions for general shooting at 100 yards, 10 positions at 200 yards, and a four-field trap range. We also have an indoor air gun range. And we do all manner of shooting for pretty much any discipline you're interested in. Our trap range is open to the public on Wednesday night and Saturday and Sunday afternoons.
Very good. Very good. And the website?
Is www.associatedgunclubs.org.
Got to get that S on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get Ellis Outdoors. You got to get that S on there. By the way, do you guys do Facebook and all that? Do you have the Facebook page and all that or not?
I dabbled in it a little bit. It became a bit of a nightmare with everything, you know, coming in on me, so I decided to back away from Facebook.
That's why I have a social media coordinator up in Frederick, Maryland, Ellis Outdoors, LLC, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, and the Outdoorsman Radio Show all have Facebook pages, all coordinated by our friend Laura Rigsby up there in Frederick, Maryland, and she has posted a couple of interesting things. So we'd like you to like us on Facebook. Ah, there is Alice in Catonsville again. Dawn, what is she talking about? I guess we'll wait. Okay. Alice, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm just calling because when we were in line, and obviously we were like a second or third day's worth of testimony coming up, they went ahead and put us on lists through Don Dwyer's office to come back and testify later. And I don't see any reason why, you know, several people who are listening in right now couldn't contact somebody like Don Dwyer's office.
Alice,
yeah.
What chance do you really think you're going to have to testify?
Well, there are about eight more bills that are going to be coming up, Alan. And we're talking about the nose under the camel's nose coming under the tent. I think his head is in.
I'm going to toss this one to John.
Okay.
Good morning, Alice.
Hello, how are you?
I am good, thank you.
Good.
The governor's gun bill, SB 281, has a House cross-file, which is to say a bill by a different number but the exact content.
Mm-hmm.
The hearing for that bill is March 1st at 1 p.m.
Okay.
So what we did last Wednesday, we're going to be doing again on March 1st, and you will have an opportunity to sign up there and testify on that bill, and I strongly recommend that you and all of your friends come down to Annapolis and join us.
So just go ahead and stand in line again. You don't think it's worth contacting people who are already in office, like Don Dwyer, to try and testify on all of these bills that are coming up?
Well, Don Dwyer is already on our side and always has been.
Right.
Typically, what shooters do is they gravitate towards legislators that agree with them, and what they really need to be doing is putting pressure on the legislators that don't agree. That's where the pressure needs to be applied. I would recommend also that you call and write, and best yet, visit your legislators, the people who directly represent you. And if you visit the Associated Gun Club's website on the legislative news page, you will find links to the various bills, as Alan mentioned, under guns, weapons, and hunting. You'll also find a link to the bill status, which is a spreadsheet that I've created, and it's published in PDF form, so you can download it. It has hyperlinks that you can click on to take you to more information on the bills. We also have a link that you can sign up for the legislative email system so that you'll receive emails from me on events in Annapolis and other related items. And we have another link on the website that allows you to email your legislators, and you can very quickly craft an email and send it to the entire General Assembly. In about 5 minutes, you can reach 188 legislators. And so far, since January 7th, we have put in about 630,000 emails into the Maryland General Assembly.
Good, but we need more. So what was the website again, please?
It's AssociatedGunClubs, plural on clubs, .org.
Very good. And, Alan, you're going to have a link to this, right?
I can send you a link, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
It's not going to be on your website.
We have to chat about that.
I see. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Alice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Harry in his car. Good morning, Harry. How are you doing? Harry? Good morning, Harry.
Good morning. How are you this fine morning?
We're great. Okay. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm on my way down to the NRA headquarters to take a course. Just coincidentally, I'm on the radio with you. So I was at the rally very early. We signed in. We were on the first page. Of sign-in, And then I went out to the rally, and I was having the crowd repeat the Second Amendment and with such passion and verve, you know, it was just wonderful. I was standing on a brick wall yelling at everyone. And then we managed to get seats in the main room, and we stayed there until we were able to testify, myself and a friend, Bobby Bollinger. He has a gunsmithing shop. And both of us were able to testify about 20 till 9. We never left our seats during that time. The I testified from a point of emotion, rather, because everybody else testified and all the other things. I testified about the fact of an attempted break-in at my house. What if my daughter would have been there, a 16-year-old, and she would have been without 10 rounds after firing through a wall? You know, and I mean, I'm actually building a small semi-safe room in a walk-in closet for her. And not that we live in fear, we don't. But you got to take care of your family. And then, but the thing that really tripped my trigger, all the wonderful testimony, and there was powerful testimony on both sides. Some of it wasn't worth a darn, but some of it was very good, including the AGC's testimony was marvelous. But the fact that these senators, outside of several of them in the room, they simply didn't seem to care. And I don't know if you've heard yet, but two young ladies that went up to testify and weren't able to, they moved to the side of the room, took a picture of the senator. He was third from the front on the left-hand side playing chess on his computer while there was testimony going on.
I'm shocked and amazed.
Yep, and they have the picture. I haven't seen it yet. My friend, the gunsmith, has seen it. And, you know, it's on Facebook, and he was playing chess during the testimony. So he was third from the front on the left side as I'm facing the chairman.
The photograph is of Senator Jamie Raskin, and he is an avid chess player, and we looked into this, and in point of fact, even the friendly senators have told us what you saw in the photograph or what you will see is actually his screensaver. He was not actually playing chess on his computer at the time.
Well, that's good to hear, because I was so disappointed, angered by this, the fact that he would treat it with such disregard, you know, such a passionate, important bill. So I'm glad you said that, so I don't want to pass on, you know, the negative.
Well, Harry, will you get back to your gunsmith and tell him what you just heard?
I will, absolutely, without question. And, you know, I've been very active, by the way, with the AGC using their online communications. And, you know, I work very, very hard contacting all of the Senate committee members. And as I have, I'm not saying for myself, but this is what it takes for us to defeat this bill and upcoming bills. And, you know, it's going to take communication. It's going to take contribution. And I encourage everybody to do that very, very thing.
Thank you, Harry. We appreciate the call. You have a great day, buddy. Appreciate you checking in with us. There we go. Hey, we've got – did I just dump him? No. Mark, good morning. How are you, Mark?
Hello, I'm good.
What's up?
You?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to say I like coming out here and hunting. I could not sleep last night. I was just so happy to come out here.
Are you on the youth hunt, Mark?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah,
are you with Captain Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Son.
What's that?
This is Mark's son.
Okay, good. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, are the birds flying yet?
Nope, not yet.
It's still dark out, I'm hoping.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's about I guess it's almost legal shooting time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you saw any birds yet or not. Usually right at first light, they're flying around out there. So, but you're on the Patapsco River, and I know that the diver ducks have been very prevalent over there. And,
yeah, that's what we're trying.
Yeah, the bluebills and the canvasbacks and the redheads and the ruddy ducks and the buffleheads. Yeah. Is this your first waterfowl hunt, Mark?
No, this is not.
No? Okay. You're an old veteran?
Yeah, I'd like to say that.
Yeah, how old are you, Mark?
I am 14.
14. All right, good. How was your season so far?
Not too good. We had a trip in Chestertown for goose hunting and didn't turn out very good.
Uh-oh.
Many geese.
Yeah.
But we went out with Bill Sanders.
yep.
one time and got four ducks.
Oh, so cool.
Hopefully we can get some again.
Very good. Well, look, let me ask you a question there, Mark. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to us while you can hand the phone off to?
No.
No. Okay, you're the guy.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate the call. Good luck out there today on Youth Waterfowl Day. And keep in mind, the governor's behind you.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Ed in Cape May, New Jersey. Good morning, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I love your show.
Are you listening online?
Yes, I am.
Good. Congratulations. Thank you very much. What's up?
I can't get you on my stereo. There's too much static.
Yeah, I understand that. But you can listen online, which is great. A lot of people do from all over the country.
Yeah.
So what's up?
I'm wondering about these people that make all the gun laws. Do they know what they're talking about? I mean, can they handle a gun? Did they ever shoot one? Do they have to clean it?
You would be astonished at how little they know.
Yeah, right. So what gives them the right to make laws against people when they don't know what they're talking about?
We elected them.
That's exactly true.
We elected them, Ed.
That's what we have to get after.
We elected them. We have an ignorant public that elects ignorant officials. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that. What's that?
I found that out.
Yeah, I mean ignorant as in a lack of knowledge, not...
Oh, yeah, sure, I know.
You know, they say the biggest thing in our hunting and shooting community is ignorance and apathy. And when you ask people about that, they say, well, I don't know, and I really don't care. But that's the way it is, unfortunately. And the ignorant people elect ignorant legislators.
Right.
So,
and what are they going to do with people who have the wrong bullets in their pocket? Are they going to have people searching everybody going into the woods?
No, maybe. We don't know yet. Right. We have to see if this law passes. And let's hope it doesn't.
Right.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you listening there in New Jersey. All right. Very good. Let's talk to Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm enjoying your show today.
Well, thank you. How you doing, Charles?
I'm doing just fine. I wanted to tell you a story about my father and fly fishing.
All right.
My father used to go in the back yard and practice fly fishing.
Okay.
For hours.
Right.
And he could drop that fly on a blade of grass.
Yep.
He was really excellent, and he had so much fun. And I thought your listeners would love to practice this if you are interested in fly fishing. And I went with him, and the greatest part of fly fishing with him was down Middle River and Back River, and he would practice and practice and practice his techniques, and he never caught anything. He never caught a fish. And I thought, this is a scream. But all our fun was in the picnic, in going down there with some friends, and
sure,
they all fly fished, and nobody ever caught anything.
No, and Back River, that's not a surprise. So, but anyway, that's fascinating, Charles. We greatly appreciate you sharing your stories with us every day, and we know that you are the guy in the commercial, the most interesting man in the world, not that other guy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
Much.
You have a great day.
And I wanted to say one other thing.
All right.
I went on an African safari.
All right.
Had no money, and a safari in those days was $10,000. And I went with a group of people, and one man couldn't go because he got sick. And that trip, I killed a lion. And my father always taught me to carry a gun cradled.
Right.
Cradled in my arms and learned to shoot that way.
Right.
And I wouldn't take a gun bearer, and I did that and eventually killed a lion. And that lion's head was in my father's house.
Oh, my.
It was, and they cut it up as soon as it was killed. And that lion was stalking us. And they all called me a hero.
Well, that is true. I have a friend who just shot a lion with a bow and arrow. He shot it twice. The lion charged and had to be stopped by the PH with a gun, and the lion died 20 feet away.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty dangerous critters. 400 pound cat. So, but thank you for the call, Charles. We appreciate it. Hear from you next week.
And thank you for being on the radio.
You're welcome.
You're my life.
Take care, brother.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's where you'll find any firearm that you're interested in for hunting and shooting, including some of the great firearms from Browning. They are the full-line Browning dealer. They have the X-Bolt, which is a bolt-action rifle, extremely accurate bolt-action big-game hunting rifle. It's all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. If you're headed out west or you're just looking for a new deer rifle, I highly recommend the X-Bolt. And for those of you who enjoy the shooting sports, the 725 Satori sporting firearm. It's an over and under. It comes with five Invector DS choke tubes. I guess it has a threaded barrel, huh, Jeff?
I would think so.
Yeah, a ported barrel. On the list, a triple trigger system, the Vector Pro length enforcing cones, and the 725 field model, for those of you who enjoy upland bird shooting, you know, doves and grouse and that type of thing, that is also available for you. So if you're into shooting sports, take a look at the 725 Satori from Browning. Don't forget, fishing season's right around the corner. Clyde Sports Shop is ready with your fishing license and all your fishing supplies, bait as well. You can call them at 410-242-6108. That's the regular number. The fishing hotline is 410-247-3474, 247-FISH. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Website is clydesports.com.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah! Here comes Amos! Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody
blames his old... We're with John Jocelyn, who's the legislative vice president of the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. And we have a question from Walt in Catonsville. Good morning, Walt. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. This is a hypothetical question. Let's say when I was 14, my father bought me a .22 at Western Auto.
Okay.
And it's got a, it's a semi-automatic.
Yep.
And this is hypothetical. And it has a tube loader, you know, the little tube.
Yeah, you're talking about a Remington Nylon 66. I have one.
Yeah, I didn't want to say the name.
Why?
Okay. Well,
okay.
I didn't want to. Anyway,
yeah, I understand. You load the, there's a, like 11 or 12 long rifle bullets that go in back through the back of the stock. You drop them in.
At least.
Yeah, I maybe 14.
I shoot shorts as well.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that would be a legal firearm to own.
Yes, it is. 22s with tubular magazines are specifically excluded from the bill.
Oh, that's after.
And they have been, and the legislation hasn't changed on that. They've always been excluded.
Right. Yep, exactly. So.
All right. Well, you understand my concern.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. A semi-automatic firearm with more than 10 rounds in the quote, magazine. I guess it's not really a magazine or a clip. It's a tube. But still capable of holding more than 10. So, yep, I own one, Walt. That was my first gun.
I admire that as well.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
I have one other question.
Go ahead.
When I went to get my fishing license,
yep,
they insisted upon my Social Security number.
That's correct.
And now, I'm not understanding. I even confronted why, and I went to one of your sponsors, and they said, look, we can't give it to you unless you give me your Social Security
number. That's correct.
And I'm wondering if they're worried about me putting too many hooks together or using hooks as a weapon. I don't understand.
Social Security numbers are required for hunting and fishing license applications. The Federal Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996 requires that states implement a process by which they can deny or rescind licenses, professional and recreational, to individuals owing child support or failing to comply with court orders relating to paternity or child support proceedings. To fulfill that requirement, Maryland mandated the collection of Social Security numbers from all recreational license applicants for hunting licenses and fishing licenses.
Oh, okay.
Under the department's privacy policy, your Social Security number cannot be displayed on any documents accessible to the general public, including your hunting or fishing license. Your Social Security number is considered sociological information, along with your address and phone number, that can only be used by the department in carrying out its governmental functions and cannot be released to anyone else without your express permission. However, the governor can access your email address and send you an email about his policies and his upcoming bills in the General Assembly, along with Youth Waterfowl Day.
That kind of sounds to me like he knows my address, too.
He probably does. He knows your email address.
He knows my Social Security number. And he knows that, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, if the governor wants anybody's Social Security number, he's going to be able to get it. So, all right. Thanks, Walt. Appreciate the call. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
John Jocelyn, Legislative Vice President of Associated Gun Clubs in Baltimore. For those of you who would like to have more information, it is www.associatedgunclubs.org. O-R-G, associatedgunclubs.org. And you're welcome to sign up for all their services on their website. John, what do you think? Does this bill stand a shot?
If we don't stand up and fight back, it stands a shot. If we stand up and fight back, we've got a good chance. It's a bad bill, and a lot of people know about it.
It's a bad bill. A lot of people know about it. What about members of the General Assembly? What are you hearing?
A lot of them haven't even seen